So in my daily readings, my normal just read through the Bible plan, I've reached the book of Joshua, you know, where the children of Israel are about to enter into the promised land. And God's really been speaking to me through these scriptures. In fact, you know, if you've been in home group a few weeks ago, I actually shared some of this at one of the home groups one evening. And I don't think it's insignificant, really, that, you know, we've just recently had our one-year anniversary, and where we spent, you know, a fair bit of time just looking back and thanking God for the way that He's brought us through. But you know, we really also got to be looking forward to where God is taking us to, and there's been a fair bit of that, I think, as well this morning. So, if you've got your Bibles, if you could look up Joshua chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 9. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. Joshua chapter 1. It says, "After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. And he said, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left, and then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.'" It's interesting, we were singing, "Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you." And I wanted to break out into the middle bit, you know, we're going to run through the land and tell everyone to get ready, because it's very much part of this song. The title of what I'm sharing this morning is "Be strong and courageous," and I'm really talking about taking hold of God's promises, and that is my very young but very courageous lion, Simba, isn't it? You know anything about Simba, you know, he was very courageous and out to go and do things, and he had to learn a little bit of things on the way, but he had to really learn what he was called to do in many ways. That's all, that part of that story is all about, which is kind of interesting, really. So Simba's going to be keeping watch over these slides as we walk over. Be strong and courageous. It's a really good, provoking statement, isn't it? Be strong and courageous. You don't hear people generally standing up at the platform and say, "Right, I want you to be weak and pathetic and frightened." You know, we don't encourage people that way. We encourage people to be strong and courageous. But I want us to understand that in being strong and being courageous, it's really important that we understand the context in which this is being said. You know, to be strong and courageous, it's all about being strong and courageous in terms of taking hold of what God has taken hold of you for. That's what we need, to be strong and courageous. Not be strong and courageous and take hold of whatever you want. It's to be strong and courageous and take hold of the promises of God. If I was going to try and summarize what I'm going to say today in just one sentence or one paragraph, then this is how I would summarize what we're going to talk about. If we know we are living obediently, paying careful attention to all that God requires, then we know that all that God promises us will come to pass, no matter what obstacles or challenges that may face us along the way. Because of this, we can indeed be strong and courageous and take hold of those promises. I'll read that again, because this really summarizes what this message is all about. That if We know we are living obediently and we're paying careful attention to everything that God requires, then we know that all that God promises us will come to pass, no matter what obstacles or challenges may face us along the way. It's this, because in that context, it's because of this we can indeed be strong and courageous and take hold of God's promises. And if I stopped there and you just meditated on that for a week, you'd get it. But I'm going to help you. So in true predictable style, I'm going to have 3 points. So we're going to look at God, the certainty of God's promises. We're going to look at what God requires from us in order to take hold of those promises. And then we're going to look a little bit about why then do we actually need to be strong and courageous? Why is it necessary to be strong and courageous in order to take hold of God's promises? So let's think a little bit about God's promises, shall we? These promises God gave to Abraham many, many years ago, and then they were passed on, you know, through the generations to Isaac and to Jacob and to Moses. And now it's going to be Joshua that actually sort of, in some ways, actually starts to take hold of some of these promises and make them a reality. This is the first promise: I will not fail you or abandon you. Isn't that a great promise? Amen. I will not leave you. I will not fail you. I will not abandon you. I will not turn my back on you. I will not reject you. I will not walk away from you. Now, this is what God is saying. I will never leave you or forsake you. This is a phenomenal promise. He will not fail you. I mean, it's one of those promises you kind of need to speak to yourself and remind yourself about and build yourself up in, that God is absolutely, totally, 100% committed to you. He will not let you down. This is what God was saying to his people, you know, many thousands of years ago. And that promise is just as relevant to you today. God will not let you down. John earlier was saying about the importance of believing. You know, sometimes we've got to believe, and even when things are difficult, you know, we've just got to believe. We've got to believe that God is with us and believe that God will uphold us and believe that God will bring us through. And this is what it's saying. You know, he is saying, I won't let you down. And we have to believe it. It says, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I mean, that is fantastic. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. It says in Isaiah 54, verse 17, it says, no weapon forged against you will prosper. Isaiah 54, 17, no weapon forged against you will prosper. In other words, you know, it doesn't matter how hard Satan tries, no matter what obstacles, what difficulties, what mountains, what confusions, what distractions, doesn't matter what Satan tries to do to put in your way, to pull you away from God, actually nothing can, so long as you don't let it. A lot of the reason things go wrong is because we allow Satan a foothold in our lives. The truth is, when Jesus died on that cross 2,000 years ago, he did a complete 100% full work. And he disarmed the powers of the enemy. He disarmed the powers of Satan. He defeated Satan on the cross. You really do have victory. We really are more than conquerors through Christ and gives us strength. You know, greater is he that is in me than he who's in the world. You know, nothing needs to stand against the purposes of God when we are walking along the ways that God wants us to walk. And some of these conditions are really important. In fact, you know, we'll be coming to talk a bit about some of these conditions later on. We're so tempted, aren't we? And I hear this all the time, to say, I can't. Who often says, I can't? You know, when the challenge faces you, I can't. Or it's not me. I haven't. There's better people who can do it. There's people who can do it better. I can't. Let me tell you, you can. You can. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Now, doing the right things is obviously important, but God doesn't call you to do the things, you know, that are completely off track. It's not, you know, God calls you and asks you to do things that he has purposed for you to do. And because he has purpose for you to do them, he's more than able to equip you to do them. Therefore, you can. So when you find yourself and tempted to say, I can't, but inside of you, you know really it is what God wants you to do. Instead of saying, I can't, what needs to come out of your mouth, and you need to confess it and you need to hear it in your ears, say, I can, because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The promise I really like, though, is this other one. And it said at the beginning of that chapter that we just read, it said, wherever you set your foot, you will be on land I have given you. Wherever you put your foot, you'll be on land I've given you. And note, it doesn't say land I will give you. It says land I have given you. In God's mind, it's already established. It is a done deal. Now, this land is yours. God said so. I've given it to you. Not, you know, I will. And this is how God works in our lives. You know, in God's mind, he's already established these things. This beautiful psalm, it's one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 139. It's the Psalm of David. And in verse 16, it says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day has passed. You know, God has established a fantastic, wonderful, tailor-made, perfect plan for your life. It's already decided. You know that many times I've spoken about God's plan A. God does not have a plan B for your life. We often try and outwork plan Bs because we're too frightened sometimes to outwork plan A. But there is no plan B in God's mind. He has a plan for your life. It's absolutely tailor-made for you. And it's all decided. And if you're prepared to take hold of and believe and walk in that plan that God has set out for you, absolutely nothing can stand in your way, because that's the other promise. And God will never leave you or forsake you or fail you if you walk in that promise. It's a wonderful, wonderful plan A. The plan A for the Israelites in this story was to take the land of Canaan. I wonder what God's plan is for your life. It's something that we need to be regularly seeking God over. Notice it doesn't say, you know, it's very easy to misinterpret this word wherever. And this is something I shared in home group. I share it now because a lot of people weren't in home group. We can often interpret wherever you put your foot on with you, meaning, well, you know, I can walk where I like because the Bible tells me God's going to be with me. But it's not like that. You know, the land of Canaan was a very big land, lots and lots of space, but it did have boundaries. So there was parts of things that, you know, that God had not planned for them. That's not where God wanted them to be. So as long as the Israelites were walking in the land of Canaan, which is what God had promised them, then they could be sure that God was going to be with them. It's walking where, putting your feet where God has written down in his plan A wants you to walk. You can't just walk anywhere, doing anything you like and think that God is just going to walk with you, because he won't. He simply won't. We need to walk in God's plan A. God's promises are conditional. John spoke about this. I think you've spoken about it here. You've certainly spoken about it in Africa. You know, God's promises are conditional. If we want to take hold of God's promises, and God's promises are wonderful, then we need to take hold of them in the way that God wants us to. So there is a God, there is a plan A for our lives. There is no plan B. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day has passed. So remember, there is this plan for your life. God wants you to walk in it. So what does God require from us? So look at these words. I've put them in bold here. Be careful to obey. Do not deviate to the right or to the left. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night. This doesn't sound like some sort of casual, half-hearted, take it or leave it Christianity. This is something that God wants us to passionately and sincerely participate in it. Be careful. How many of us truly are careful what we do? careful where we go, careful what we watch, careful what we say. Often we're very free and careless. You know, we just do what we want to do. But if we want to take hold of God's promises, if we want God's promises to be true and real in our lives, then we need to be careful. To be careful to what? To obey everything that God wants us to do. Don't deviate to the right or to the left. Very easy, isn't it, when we face a problem, when we face a mountain, where things don't quite go the way we would like them to go. What's our temptation? Well, I'll go another way. And we deviate and we do something else because something didn't quite work out the first time. Very tempting to just give up, but God doesn't want us to give up. I'll be sharing a bit later about you know, why we have challenges in our lives, and that's why God has actually designed it that way. But God doesn't want us just to walk away and deviate and turn around and go in a different direction. He wants us to persevere and come through. Study this book of instruction. Again, you know, how many of us, I wonder, go from Sunday to Sunday and actually never pick up our Bibles? It's a challenging thought. But I know there are many Christians who do just that. Now, they'll live from Christian meeting to Christian meeting, and basically that's where we'll get our feeding from. But actually, God wants us to really study God's word and get into it, meditate it on day and night. It says, if you read on, it says, if you do this, if you do this stuff here that's written on there, if you do this, then, it feels like it's a computer program. This is how you can write computer programs, if then. So if you do this, then you will be successful in everything you do. In fact, it says it even stronger. It goes on to say, only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Those are ever so strong words, but they are there in black and white. This is how God wants us to live our lives. To live like that, being careful, staying steadfast in the word of God, to be studying his word, meditating on it day and night. When you do this, you can be sure that God will help us to be successful. It says in Joshua 22, verse 5, I mean, it says about being careful to obey. Well, you know, what is it really that, you know, what is the Christian life all about? How should we live our lives? If you want one verse which summarizes how we should live, This is a verse that's worth making note of. Because in this one verse, it tells us exactly how we should live. And this is Joshua 22, verse 5. It says, love the Lord your God, walk in all his ways. And when I think of ways, I think about God's character and the way God is. So God wants us to walk in the same way as God would walk, how Jesus walked, and behave in the same way as Jesus would behave. So love the Lord your God, walk in all of his ways, obey all his commands, hold firmly to him, and serve him with all your heart and all your soul. That's not a bad summary of how we should live our Christian life, is it? If you just outwork that one verse, you know, you'd be well on the way to heaven. It's participative. You know, it takes... You know, you've got to do it. It's not just a ride. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about the kids' song. You know, Living on the Glory Train. I love that song. I'm not going to suggest that we don't ever sing it ever again, because I love seeing the kids, you know, running around the church. We're living on the glory train. Woohoo! It's a great song. But you know, I don't believe there's a glory train anywhere. I just don't think a glory train exists. I don't think we just get on the train, shut the door, sit down, get our newspaper out and just read, and then the next stop we're in heaven. It's not like that. The Christian life is a journey. It's a challenge. It's something we have to persevere in. It's something we overcome. Now, you know, I love that song, but let's have a proper perspective of what it is to be on this journey. Over the last 12 months, now, as a church, we've learned a really important principle, haven't we? The principle was about taking 6 steps and then stopping and reflecting and reminding ourselves and being certain that we are right at the heart of God, what God wants us to do. That is all of that. That is that. And I don't know that there's any real significance in 6. I know I could make significance of 6. I mean, God worked 6 days building creation, then he stopped. Perhaps, you know, whether he just checked in on himself. Yep, now I've done a good job here. I don't know. I mean, it could make the significance of 6. But, you know, it could be 6, it could be 60, it could be 600, it could be 6,000. The important thing is that you are regularly checking in with God, saying, God, is my life lined up to what your purpose is, your plan, your plan A. Am I still, God, on track? Is there anything I need to adjust so that I'm right at the center of everything you want me to do? That's what that is all about. So, if we did all of that, we've got all these wonderful promises, and if we live this life, you know, sounds like it should all work, because God says, you know, if you do all this, you're going to be successful. So why on earth do I need to be strong and courageous? Let's think about, what does it actually mean to be strong and courageous? So what does strong mean? These are the kind of words that speak to me. When I think of the word strong, it means steadfast, resolute, not wavering, not being blown about by the wind or tossed about by the sea. You see that in James. It's about putting your hand to the plough and not looking back. Again, it's about resoluteness. That's Luke 9:62. It's about when you've been in the battle and Satan's thrown all his arrows at you and tried to knock you down, you know, every which way he can. At the end of all that, as we see in Ephesians 6:13, I'm still standing. I'm still standing because nothing that can be forged against me will prosper. That's what being strong is all about. It's about, it requires muscle, it requires energy, it requires discipline, it requires endurance, it requires resilience, it requires exercise. You know, you don't get all these things if you sit, you know, just sat on the sofa with your feet up watching, you know, what sort of programs kids watch these days, but you know, all the latest soaps. You know, that's not what it's all about. It's participative. What's it mean to be courageous? That's why our Simba the lion's still there, being courageous. About being bold, being adventurous. It's about taking risks. It's about stepping out of your comfort zone. When was the last time you stepped outside of your comfort zone? When was the last time? Can you remember? Or have you just, do you live your life in your comfort zone? It's about advancing. It's about possessing. It's about taking authority. It's about overcoming. It's about not being timid, fearful, or shrinking back. It's like David running towards Goliath saying, "You pathetic Philistine, I'm going to take you down." That's the Richard Brown version of the Bible. Ultimately, it is about faith. Being courageous is about pushing forward into the promises of God, taking hold of them by faith, being strong and being courageous. So let's come back to this question, why? Why do we need to be strong and courageous? And it's simply this. And it's hard, but it is a reality. The truth is, moving forward is going to be full of uncertainties. It's going to be full of unfamiliar paths. It's going to be full of challenges. It's going to be full of battles. It's going to be full of obstacles. There's going to be loads of enemies there. You know, God doesn't just drop his promises on you, you know, onto your lap. We have to take hold of them, and we have to take hold of them by faith. You know, God had promised the Israelites this wonderful land of Canaan, but God didn't clear the land out for them. All the enemies were still in there, including all the giants. They had to go in and take possession. And it's just the same for you and me. But God doesn't ask you or require you to do something that is impossible. You know, God has given you every single thing that you need, every provision to help you take hold of, you know, God's plan A for your life. He's not going to stitch you up. Like some people might stitch somebody up, you know, go and tell you to do something, knowing full well you're going to fall flat on your face. You know, God doesn't do that. He will help you to fulfill your plan A, but you do need to be strong, you do need to be courageous. And it's not about kind of hyping yourself up. You know, this is not like standing on the edge of a high diving board, looking down thinking, "I can do this, I could do this, you know, come on, you know, I could dive off this," and you kind of get yourself ready and you're trying to be strong, and then you go and do it and you do a big massive belly flop because actually you couldn't do it. And I probably couldn't do it. I tried standing on these high diving boards. It scares the living daylights out of me. You know, it's not my thing. This is not what it's about. This is not what God is trying to do. You know, you're not trying to trust in your own strength. You're not trying to trust in your own ability. Your strength and your being strong and being courageous is about trusting and putting your faith in God, who's going to help you and equip you. He's the one that's going to be, you know, he's going to help you to do all of this. It's just the same today, just the same way as the children of Israel, you know, had to go and fight battles and take possession of the land. You and me have to take hold of God's promises and God's plan A for our lives. You know, if you're just going to sit there and, you know, let life pass you by, then that's not the way to take hold of all that God has taken hold of you. You have to take hold of it. Notice, though, I put a little warning sign down there. You know, it's great to be strong and courageous, but remember, we need to be strong and courageous in the things that God has called us to do. And we started at the very beginning of this, you know, if you live this way, if you follow all my ways and words, and you meditate on God's word, and you do all these things, then I can be with you. So you can be strong and courageous. It's not wise to be strong, courageous, and sinful. Because strong, courageous, and sinful is an interesting combination that can get you into some very deep water. So let me ask another question. So why does it have to be this way anyway? I mean, okay, you know, we have all these promises, but you know, why does God make our future so uncertain? You know, why can't the plan that God has for our life be so straightforward, so obvious, so straight, no obstacles, no enemies, no difficulties? I mean, surely, I mean, God could do that, couldn't he? I mean, if God's got this perfect plan for our lives, why does this perfect plan that God has for us contain enemies? I mean, why does God put mountains that we have to climb over? Why does God require us to go through the valley of the shadow of death? Why? It just seems so strange, doesn't it? But you know, we've had this now over the last couple of weeks, haven't we? That, you know, trials and tribulations and difficulties and mountains and disappointments, these are all God's opportunities for him to reveal his grace to us. How many of us really press into God when things are really easy and comfortable? The truth is, most of us, when things are all fine and hunky-dory, we just kind of drift on in life. It's just what we do. And it's only when we hit a brick wall or the enemy fires something really, you know, horrible at us that we fall on our knees. We say, God, help, help, I need your help. And God knows this. Because he knows it because he made us. He knows what we're like. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. And so the reason we faced challenges, not because God is a vindictive, horrible, you know, sadistic God, because God is not that at all. God is full of love. But God knows that, you know, we're only going to reach into him when we feel we need him. So he creates opportunities for us to reach to him so that he can pour out his grace into our lives. It's a beautiful verse there, isn't it, in James chapter 1, verse 2. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow, so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. I'm led to believe, I'm not a biologist or whatever it is, you know, whatever kind of person that studies plants and trees and these kind of things. But I'm led to believe that, you know, the trees that are constantly blown at in the wind, you know, always facing storms, are the trees that are strong. Because they have to develop that strength to continue to stand straight, and it's just the same for our lives. It's because of these challenges and difficulties in our lives that help us to build up spiritual muscle. You know, faith is just like any of our senses. I know I've shared this before as well. You know, just like you have, you know, it's good to exercise for our physical bodies and build up muscle and build up stamina. And, you know, we do runs or play sports or something like that. Our faith is exactly the same. We have to build up faith. We have to build up spiritual stamina. And the way we do that is by overcoming the challenges that God deliberately puts in our lives. Okay. The other reason that we have to be strong and courageous, and interestingly, you know, John's kind of referred to this a little bit this morning. I say there, God's timing is perfect, but it's not always preferable. And when I say not always preferable, that's by our standards. You know, we like God to, you know, when we ask God to do something, we generally want him to do it now, don't we? That's usually what implicit in our prayers. God, answer my prayer and please do it now. But actually, God's plan A for our lives is all perfect and it's already put in place. God knows exactly what needs to happen, when it needs to happen, how it needs to happen. And what we need to do is seek God's plan so that we can walk at peace and we know what he's doing, we can be confident, we can have faith. But sometimes, we have to wait. I find this interesting that God caused the children of Israel to cross the River Jordan when the water was high. And the river Jordan apparently does have high times, and in the summer it's very low. So you would have thought, wouldn't you, that the most sensible, from human point of view, the most sensible time to bring the children of Israel to the point of the River Jordan to cross would have been in summer, when the water was at its lowest point, so you can practically paddle across the water. That way they wouldn't have needed any miracle. And that's the problem, you see. They wouldn't have needed a miracle. They'd have gone across the water. And, where would all the wonderful psalms be that talk about how God miraculously parted the waters and took them over the River Jordan? God brought them to the river at the high point because he wanted to demonstrate his power. He wanted to show that he was the one that was bringing them through. It wasn't through their own efforts. And we need to remember that sometimes, when we're thinking about God's timing, we just need to trust God in these things. God, John said, believe, 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 believe. We have to believe that God knows best. And his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His wisdom is not our wisdom. Okay, so what do we need to do to apply this word today? So let me just quickly nail just a few points. Firstly, it's good to reflect on the journey that you're on today. I believe that's in the UCB notes at the moment. I prepared this word 2 weeks ago, so in God's perfect plan, it lined up with the UCB notes today. Reflect on your journey. It's good sometimes to look back at where you've been. It was great 2 weeks ago, wasn't it, when we had our sort of 12-month anniversary service. It wasn't billed as an anniversary service, but what happened on that Sunday morning was lots of people just came and shared testimony about how God had really helped them through all sorts of difficulties. And listen, we didn't focus on all the difficulties. We weren't having a big moan and groan, get ourselves into the deep sort of, you can almost indulge in the problems. It's sort of deceivingly therapeutic. But I really don't believe it's what God wants. Sometimes you can get around a group of people who've all been through some difficulty and you just have a good bitch about it and moan. And somehow you kind of feel good. But I don't think, you might feel good, but I don't think it's godly. Actually, what is really profitable is to look back and think about how God answered your prayers. How look where I was, but look where I am now. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing what God's done? And actually, isn't it amazing what God has done? I mean, look at us. This is fantastic. Well, the way God has brought us through is just wonderful. And we need to look back and we need to thank God. And we need to thank him that, some of the difficulties that we went through that at times seemed almost insurmountable, we're actually through. Praise God. We are. And it's because God is faithful and he didn't leave us. He didn't forsake us. And that thing that stood against us didn't overcome us. God is faithful and it's good for us to remember, and God often told the children of Israel, remember. And if you look through a lot of the Psalms are just an historical account of what God did over those times. And you might feel as young people, you don't have a lot to remember. And I do have more to remember than some of you, obviously, because I'm older. But there are things you can still thank God for. Just those small mercies that God places in your life. If you start to develop a habit of thanking God and reflecting over ways that God has answered your prayer, what it does is it builds faith. It's faith building on faith building on faith. Every time you thank God for the way he's overcome in your life, it's an opportunity to build faith. Secondly, this is really important. If we need to meditate on the word of God, if we need to know what God's plan is, if we need to hear God and hear his will into our lives, then we need to be where God can speak to you. So be alongside good, trustworthy Christians, people who love you, who want the best for you. There are some people we mix with who draw you away from God rather than help you into God. It's true. You know, and we all need to reflect sometimes on the company that we keep. And, you know, if you've been spending time with some certain people, and ask yourself, well, do I feel closer to God? Do I feel stronger as a Christian? Do I feel that I've been honouring God in my life by being in this company? Or do I feel actually it's drawn me further away? You know, at the end of the day, it's your choice. It's your choice. You just choose who to be with. And my strong suggestion is be with people who will be a blessing to you, that can help you to stand in the things of God. Secondly, in terms of being where God can speak to you, worship. Those of you at home group, those 2 weeks where we went through all those worship songs, wasn't it fantastic? It was awesome. As we just, you know, we kind of sank ourselves, if you like, into these songs, and we meditated on the words. You know, worship is truly very therapeutic. It is a command. We're commanded to worship God. We're created to worship God. It's what we're called to do. But it's also very therapeutic as you just close your eyes and you meditate. How many of us spend regular time listening to Christian songs and worship songs? Or, you know, or are we, you know, too focused on the telly or Radio 1 or whatever, you know, popular radio stations. I'm a Radio 2 fan myself, but that happens when you get to a certain age. You move from Radio 1 to Radio 2, and then Classic FM and so on. But actually what we need to do is, you know, we need to sink ourselves into worship, because the Spirit can really speak to you. You know, there's been many a times I've listened to a worship song, and that's just brought something to life in me, and I've often gone ahead and then preached on it because God has spoken to me through songs. And then, this is the next one. You know, I can't stress this one enough. Soak yourself in the Word of God. Remember, that's what some of those words. Meditate on it day and night. Study. These are not sort of, you know, I'll pick up my Bible when and if I have time. We need to really soak ourselves in the Word of God. And if you find it difficult, and many people do find it difficult, I recognise that, start somewhere, just anywhere. Even if it's picking up the UCB notes, at least the UCB notes usually starts with a scripture. Okay, it's a very small start, but it's a step in the right direction. You know, do something to feed yourself in a way that God can speak to you. Because if you don't do any of these things, let's face it, how can God speak to you? How can you know what God wants you to do? How can you know where God wants you to be? How can you be certain you're doing the right things unless you've placed yourself such that God can speak to you? I mean, it's crazy. I mean, and what I'm saying is blindingly obvious, but it is what we need to do. It's often what we don't do. Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3 says this: "Oh, the joys who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join with the mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do." So, we need to reflect on our journey. We need to be somewhere where God can speak to us. And finally, and this is the moving forward bit, we need to set our face on moving forward. You know, sometimes we can have an attitude where we're always looking back, either negatively or even positively, just reminiscing. Oh, it was great, you know. Oh, didn't we used to love the, you know, doing this, and didn't we love this? You know, we can't be looking back people. Now, if you want to move into the plan that God has for you, then you need to set your face towards it and move in it. That's what Jesus did with Jerusalem. It says in the Bible, I think, he set his face towards Jerusalem and he started to walk. You know, that's what we need to do. You have to be determined to set your face forward and move into the promises of God. It says in Isaiah 54, and this is a word that spoke very much to me many, many, many years ago, in Isaiah 44. So enlarge the place of your tent, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, do not hold back. It doesn't say God's going to do it for me. Doesn't say, "Oh, I've got a bigger tent for you over here. It's all set up for you. Just go and sit inside." You know, it says, "You enlarge the place of your tent. You lengthen your cords and you strengthen your stakes." You know, we have to set our face on moving forward in the purposes of God. I remember Dave Jones many years back saying, "Richard, don't hold back. Do not hold back." And I've really sought to outwork that word in my life. As a church, you know, the last 12 months has been a journey and a half, for sure, hasn't it? It's been challenging. But we're not going to live in the last 12 months. We're going to live this year in the 12 months that lie ahead of us. And we need to have our eyes fixed forward. God, what is it you have for us now? God, what do you want us to do in Africa? God, what do you want us to do around this area in Frenchay? Lord, show us the next steps that we need to take so that we're facing forward and taking hold of all that God has taken hold of us for. Lastly, the very last verse that I read there, and it says this, be strong and courageous. It says that three times in that scripture. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. When it talks about the Lord there, it uses the word Yahweh, which is the kind of the relationship. It's the Lord, you know. It's not just talking about a mighty God. It's talking about your Lord. Your Lord. It's his name. God doesn't always use his name, but he uses his name there, Yahweh. And that's how God wants like our lives to be. It's all about our relationship, our walk day by day, walking with Jesus. Amen.